The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
I hope I'm wrong, dude. I will be so ecstatic and back on board like a buffoon, like the buffoon that I am, if things go right. But I just, I don't know, man. I don't trust the Giants at all. No pass rush, offensive line. That's it. Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer in the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz. Chris Bisignano. All right, dude. I mean, look, the sun is shining brighter. Coffee tastes better. Yes, it was an ugly win, but my God, it's always beautiful, buddy, to beat Philly. I feel so good about today, and I know that there's a lot of things to not feel good about with that win, but I can't help myself, pal. We'll get into it, but I don't know. What was your instant take leaving that stadium yesterday, buddy?
My instant take leaving the stadium? Look, it was an ugly win. We were very fortunate. I mean, I honestly, I didn't realize, Jerry, how close Jalen Reagor, he should have had that ball at the end. Up in the booth, I thought Robinson maybe got his hand in there.
Yeah.
Then I'm walking down to the to the press area, you know, the media room for Judge, and a couple of people like, they started actually seeing the replay of it because we were walking down after the game. And, and a couple of people came up to me and go, yo, Chris, did you see this? I mean, Reagor should have had. I'm like, and then I saw it. And I was like, wow. I couldn't believe, Jerry, how close. I mean, actually, he should have caught that ball. That ball was right in his hands.
There were two. The first one hit his.
Yeah, the one in the end zone before that.
It hit his face mask.
I saw that on a replay up in the booth, and I was like, wow. I actually thought Robinson maybe got his hand in that one, but that actually hit his face mask, then his hands.
Yeah.
And then the other one, you know what? I mean, in the past, these are the things that actually have gone against the Giants, against the Eagles. But look, Jerry, all I was thinking about was with that punt return, like, holy crap, don't tell me again.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Dixon with a horrific punt.
Awful. Is he the worst Giants punter at the end of the game?
I mean, you know, I was like coming up small again, you know, when they need him. But the coverage was good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, those two plays. So my instant reaction was, hey, you're never going to turn down a loss. You're never going to give it back. But holy crap, were they lucky at the end? I mean, that can't happen, dude.
Chris, when they were driving, were you like, here we go again?
Jerry, it was the weirdest thing, dude. I have to be honest with you. Yeah. When they had the ball in their hands at the end, I felt good. I really did. With under Judge against the Eagles, and I know what happened with Evan last year, but he has now won two in a row.
Yes.
And it's like it's kind of strange, Jerry. You tell me if you feel this too. It's kind of a different feeling with Judge against the Eagles than the Coughlins and McAdoo's. And Jerry, I'm being honest with you, bro. Even when they had the ball in their hands, I didn't have that, oh, here we go again feeling. I didn't.
Chris, if Joe Judge is not successful here but can beat the Eagles twice every year, I don't know, man. I don't know if I take him or not. I mean, I'm joking, but I hear what you're saying. The only thing that made me nervous was that they were up six. And, again, they weren't aggressive. You know, the one time they went for the 51-yarder, I thought they should have gone for it, especially at, you know, 3-7. Just go for it. It's the Eagles. You know what's going to happen. You're going to miss this field goal, then we're going to be like, oh, here we go. And then when they were up later in the game, I thought they were very conservative to play for the field goal to go up 13-7. But that last drive was the only time for me that I thought Jalen Hurts looked good all game. I thought he was garbage most of that game. And that's when I started getting scared because I just thought, man, Hurts is, you know, he didn't look good all game. I thought he was terrible. And he's exactly what I thought he was. He's a running quarterback who's not accurate. He's McNabb light. But at the end, he made some throws where he could have won the game for him, dude. Could have won it.
Well, Jerry, what, you know, a couple of things. Let's get to it. First of all, when they kick that field goal and make it 13-7, you know, the self-inflicted penalty kicks them back.
Yep.
Okay, now it's third and long. They don't convert, they kick the field goal. The problem, I have to be honest with you, I'm going to get you feeling this. We'll get back to Hurts in a second. Now, the Giants, after the Boston Scott fumble, which I said, oh, they got to win this game, right? I mean, after Scott fumbles, right?
Came over.
The Giant killer. I'm like,
right.
But Jerry, I had a serious problem with Judge here. First down.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You get a first down, the game's over.
Yes.
Eagles got three timeouts, right?
Yeah.
You have the ball with a minute 34 left. Dude.
Yeah.
Go for the kill.
Thank you. I wrote the same thing.
Yes. And folks, I had no idea what Jerry wrote. You know, he wrote it last night. He sent it in, you know, he printed it last night. But Jerry, I'm like sitting there like, they have three timeouts. So if you just basically kneel on this ball for three, they're going to get the ball back with a little time.
Yeah.
It could work.
Yes.
When, you know, with the spike, you know, with killing the clock with the spike and all that.
Yeah.
And I was in a booth like, come on, Joe. I mean, here. So what they do, the minute 34 left, you know, they run Saquon. He gets 1 yard. The Eagles have eight guys in a box. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, they were blowing the Giants' offensive lineup game, the whole game. The offensive line, the whole game. Okay. Couldn't run the ball. We'll get into that a little bit. Second down, he tries the zone with Daniel. I mean, they're sitting on it. It goes nowhere.
Yeah.
Timeout, Philly. Third down, instead of Daniel rolling to his right, he rolls to his left. And basically, I was looking. They just conceded that play, dude. So now the Eagles call timeout, and Dixon comes up short in a punt.
Again.
And Judge, after the game, says, well, you know, we wanted them to use the timeouts. But, Joe, they were going to have time. This is the problem I had, is that they were going to have time left.
It wasn't like there was 50 seconds left when that series started. There was over a minute and a half.
There was a minute 11. I got it right in front of me.
Okay,
right,
minute 11. But so that's an extra 21 seconds. So, and they wasted what? Eight seconds off the clock?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. So
they wasted 23 seconds, Jerry, after the punt, everything, the Eagles, 23 seconds. That's it.
So it was a minute 11 when the Eagles got the ball.
Right. What
my point was, if the Giants had 50 seconds left when they got the ball, then you run three like that. I get it. I completely understand. But they got it. It was like a minute 33 or something like that. A minute 37, I think it was.
It was a minute 34. I'm looking at it right here.
Okay,
a minute 34.
And they ran two. And Chris, the best play of that drive was a throwaway run to the left, waste a few seconds, go down. Like, that was the best play of the three. That's how pathetic that was.
All I'm saying is, Jerry, once again, he looked very conservative, just more concerned about them eating the timeouts instead of going for the kill. I mean, last night you saw in a Ravens game, you saw Lamar winging the ball, look in the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, Joe, what are you doing? Because they're going, it's not like they don't have all they have. Look, I would have gave it to you if they had two timeouts left.
Sure.
Okay? Because now you could burn that 40 seconds and the game is done, dude. Right? But they had all three timeouts left. So, you know what? Go for the kill. I'm not saying they're going to convert it, but they just basically conceded that drive and put it in the defensive hands. So, the Eagles get the ball back, you know, and they get two chunk plays right out of the gate, man. Yeah. 7 yards and then 14 yards, and he gets out of bounds with Gainwell. Right? You know, then he takes a shot with Rager, incomplete. Forget about the end zone. I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But they're moving it. They're getting in striking distance.
Yeah, it was two plays, and they went like 20-something yards right away.
Right? I mean, you know, and then he goes back to Gainwell again in middle of the field. They about 11 yards. They spike it. I thought Stephen Parker does a good job on Dallas Goedert on the sideline. But the point I'm making, Jerry, is that they were in striking distance, right? They were getting down the field. Of course, it wasn't like Hurts was making good throws the last drive. They were giving it to him. It was in front of him. The Giants were giving him everything in front of him, right? So it wasn't, you know, but Hurts did, to your point, Jerry, he did make a phenomenal throw to Jalen Rager down the left sideline. And then, even after missing Devonta Smith, who was wide open.
Wide open.
Okay.
Wider.
He rolls to his left. He's scrambling. And then he makes a good throw. Like you said, Jerry, the two best throws in the game, probably.
Yes.
Right to Jalen Rager at the goal line. And It goes right. Can you imagine what's going on in Philly radio today with Jalen?
I listened this morning. I can't help myself.
I had a couple friends of mine text me last night, and it wasn't very kind language about Jalen Reagor. They already considered him a bust going into that Giants game.
Yeah.
And forget about the language of last night. I mean, I could imagine what they're saying about this kid.
I would say Ben Simmons right now is more popular in Philly.
Yeah, and that's saying, and if you're not a basketball fan, trust me, that's saying a lot. You know, if you are a basketball fan, you know what Jerry means. Okay, so, but I just had a problem with that, Jerry. I would have liked to seen him, you know, try to go for that one pass. I get it, you're going to leave them a timeout, but they had the time. They could have done some things, and they almost did.
Yeah.
You know, I would have sacrificed that timeout, Jerry, and tried to take a shot, even a slant, whatever it might have been. You know what I mean? Evan, maybe on a little choice route.
Right.
Maybe Kenny on that slant. Maybe even Darius on a comeback. Whatever it might be beyond the or even Saquon out of the backfield on a little angle. Whatever it might have been to try to get to the sticks, I would have sacrificed it. But it worked out for the Giants. But, Jerry, I mean, we almost had another – miracle basically ending where it went against the Giants. They were very fortunate, dude, because that should have been that close. Now, look, I'm not going to roast Aaron Robinson, and I'll tell you why. You know, Adoree gets hurt for the 10,000 quad injury in the NFL.
Is that ridiculous, dude?
We'll get into that a little bit too. Remind me, because I was talking with Banks, and remember Mike Quick at the Eagles?
Yes.
Well, me, Mike Quick, and Banks were having a whole and even Baldinger comes over. We're having a whole conversation about this, about the quads. It's ridiculous what's going on with quads. Hamstrings are somewhat give you, but quads, we have never seen anything like this ever. Anyway, Adoree has, you know, I tell you what, Jerry, to Adoree's credit, dude.
Try to come back.
He hurts that quad, right. Yeah. He goes to the sideline. I see he was hurting. Tries to come back. He aggravates it again. And he was slamming his helmet. He was pissed.
Yeah.
So it's a credit to Adoree. I have to be honest with you. He tried to give it a go on one leg, couldn't do it. So he has to leave. Darnay Holmes gets blasted in the chest on his interception return. He had to leave. So you had Aaron Robinson had to play on the outside. Don't forget, this kid was projected to be a slot kid, okay?
Right.
They have to play him on the outside. J.R. Reed has to play safety a lot. Stephen Parker has to play. These young kids, you know, off the practice squad, you know, practice squad guys are playing, and Aaron Robinson, the draft pick, has to play the outside a lot now, and he was thrown into the fire, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't see – look, was he beat a few times? Yeah, no question. You know, that can't happen, especially at the end of a game, you know. But I thought he did some good things. I think you see the upside of this kid
when
you
see him
playing these snaps. He's a very physical kid. I think he'll be a nice little slot kid for them in the future who could play the outside too. But you just don't want to see him 60 snaps on the outside. You like to see that 40 slot, 15 out type of guy, you know. So, but I liked what he did, Jerry. I know he got burned a few times. He should have been. But
yeah, but okay. But to your point, you know, when you watched Corey Ballantyne play, when he had significant playing time, he was out of position, right? Aaron Robinson was at least – he was all over Jalen Reagor on the one on the perfect throw down the sideline that hit Jalen Reagor in the face mask and then his hands. And then even on the last play, he was where he was supposed to be. Look, you know, the throws were good. But Aaron Robinson, man, this I know he's played before, but this was his first significant game where he had tremendous amount of playing time. So to your point real quick before about the play calling on those three plays, it's two things just struck me, dude. One, our offensive line is so bad that we cannot finish a game on the ground. We cannot run out the clock. We can't do it.
Can't do it.
I just thought, where is Otis Anderson and the Suburbanites and Joe Morris when you need him, right? And nothing against Barkley, but if the blocking was better, I believe that Barkley can do that, right? And I have another comment on Barkley later on. I want to see if you think I'm a buffoon. And the second part of that was I would have loved a rollout to play for play action and just really stick the knife in and twist and win that game. I know it's risky and you're leaving them a timeout, but Chris, when you're leaving them a minute 11 anyway, why not throw one pass? And I know it's a timeout, but go for the kill, right? Do something where you're rolling out Myrick again. Like, cause they're not going to expect Myrick again to roll out, who by the way can stay on this team as long as he wants, not just because of the touchdown, because of the effort he put forth in that 10-yard game where he was on the friggin' ground, got up and caught a pass. you know what? Lack of talent. You know, I'll take less talent on a guy who gives me that every Sunday, any day of the week, and twice on Sunday. But I would have liked a little more aggression, like you said. I would have liked something to try and surprise them. But our line is so bad, Chris. It is so bad. We cannot finish the game on the ground. And I really miss those days, dude.
Yeah, Jerry, it's, you know, and it's not so much Barkley. You know, I get some of the things in Barkley's game. But, dude, these guys have nowhere to run. I mean,
no, I know.
There was twice yesterday, I think, Barkley on a draw. He got hit as soon as he caught, as soon as he got the ball was handed off to him. He got blasted.
Yeah.
I mean, you're watching him, Jerry, and I'm watching the replays, and I see Fletcher Cox, and I see, forget about Hargrave, what he was doing in that middle. You know, and Sweat and the Barnetts and. Yeah. And then they brought in the Ridgeways and the kid, the 93 kid, the rookie kid, I forget his name, Simpson, I think. And they're just blowing up these guys.
Barnett.
And you see, you know, and then you watch what the Eagles were doing to the Giants up front.
Blasting them.
Oh, man. And then, Brian Baldwin was pointing out this morning, and it was like, Jordan Mailata and Kelsey, and when he came back in, and, oh, my God, they were just destroying these guys up front, dude. Isn't it sad, Chris,
when you look at our team, there is talent, and Xavier McKinney, like you said, guy like that, you got to be excited about him. But you look at this team, Chris, and we are so weak in the trenches. It's astounding. And Leonard Williams is good. Dexter Lawrence, okay. But the way we were getting blown off the ball yesterday, the way they were running all, if Nick Sirianni runs in the first quarter, they win that game. I'm sorry.
Man, I don't know what he was doing.
He's an idiot. He's a moron. He's a terrible head coach. He's a terrible head coach. And I love it. I love that they have him. And I hope they stay with him. Because he was on. I listened to Philly radio this morning. They were killing him. But
killing him.
Oh, they had him on. The guy Angelo had him on. And you know, they flat out asked him. And he just gives some BS corporate answer. He's getting directed from the guy above, too, to get Jalen Reagor in there because he's a first-round pick. Anyway, so weak in the trenches, and it's tough to watch, especially on the offensive line. Exponentially worse than defensive line, dude.
Yeah, Jerry, you know, and look, you know, I understand the guys of the stopgap. You know, Skura is in there for the injured center. You know, Billy Price, but dude, these guys are not getting better. Pass pro wise, they weren't bad,
right?
And Daniel's got to do some things, bro. He's got to make some more throws, too. You look at yesterday, they actually targeted Golladay a few times in the red area. And at one time, he's got to give Kenny that back shoulder. He's got to be up. And he's put in a spot where a defensive back could make a play on it. You know, he's got to get it off that shoulder where only Kenny could come down with it, where the defensive back can't get his hand on it, you know? So he's you know, Jones is just not elevating his play right now. I'm sorry. He's not elevating his play.
There's two ways to throw that, and Jones didn't throw it either way. You either throw the back shoulder or you throw it in a spot where only Golladay can catch it. You throw it more towards the corner, and he didn't. He threw it the defender, I think it was Slay, made a play on it. It was a terrible throw. Now, in defense of Jones, he didn't do that often under Garrett, but he's got to get better at that. You're right, Chris.
You just got to execute there because with this offensive line, you're not getting many chances.
No.
You know?
No. And I was so glad you put that tweet out yesterday.
Which one, dude?
About you can't take chances downfield when your team, when your offensive line is blank. Like, it is, you know, we're glad Jason Garrett's gone, but there was a reason why he couldn't throw the ball down the field as much as he wanted. There's just not enough time. And we have a running back who can't pass block. You know, it's just, I get it. I really do. I keep harping on that line because it was astounding what we were seeing yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're not, you know, being dampers on this win. You know,
oh, no.
We're just saying like it is, you know. No. Now, some of the wrinkles, look, Freddie Kitchens put a few wrinkles in yesterday. That one little wrinkle, they had Booker and Saquon in the backfield at one time.
Yeah.
Inside the five on the Myrick touchdown, he went into an eye with Penny and Barkley, and then he throws, you know, it looked like somebody might have ran the wrong way in that too, in that play action. And Myrick drops down, gets back up, and they hit the point being is they hit a target, Jerry, that there's no way the Eagles were, you know, game planning for. when they went into the game plan during the week, they won't think about Chris Myrick inside the 5-yard line.
And that is,
this is the originality and this is the creativity that Garrett really didn't have.
And that's what I, exactly. Good point.
Right. So, and that Freddie threw that in there. And also, Freddie made sure Kenny Golladay got a couple of targets in the red, tried to use his size, but they just didn't execute.
Yeah.
You know? So, but other things, look, I know people are destroying that Slayton end around, right? But dude, if Barnett is blocked down, okay? I saw it right in front of me. Myrick didn't get out there, right? Barnett saw it, blew it up. But if that play is executed halfway, 50% right, and gets Slayton out there, dude, he's going for 20 yards. Trust me, I was watching it right in front of me.
I believe you. It just reminded me of the Manningham one in 08, and I'm a buffoon. I think of plays like that that remind me of bad ones from the past. It was right after an interception, and I thought, attack down the field a bit. I mean, you don't have to throw a 50-yard bomb, but go down the field. They did the end around, and I just felt like, he channeled his inner Jason Garrett on that one. So, it's a good point. I'm glad you said that if it's blocked appropriately.
Oh, man, Barnett, Myrick came over in motion, kind of stumbled. And didn't get out there, it looked like to me. I got to look at it again. But, Jerry, I have to believe this, dude. Yeah. That last possession we talked about when he didn't go for the kill, can you blame Freddie on that? I'm not. I'm sure that was Judge telling him to play it to the vest, let them use their timeouts. Because, if Judge says, go for, let's try to get it, Fred, which I'm sure, that was the goal, but it was, the way he approached it was they weren't going to get it, right? A play action to Saquon on that first down, because their linebackers were jumping to the line of scrimmage, Jerry. Jumping.
Right.
They would have got to, trust me on this, if they did a play action, just a little slant to Kenny Slayton, somebody would have been out there. They had three guys in the back, Jerry. They would have had eight up in the box. They were jumping on that handle. If they would have been a play action, Jerry, I'm telling you, they would have got the first down easily.
That's what I mean, right.
Easily.
Some creativity, right?
Right, and these are the things that a lot of people all the, oh God, look at the play call. Is he kidding? Well, no, the play call I'm sure was told by Judge, played to the vest. He wanted to use the time. Judge basically confessed that to us after the game that he wanted to use the timeouts. That was disappointing. Look, a lot of positives, right? The offense wasn't a positive. Bottom line, under 300 yards. 1-3 in the red again, 3-12 on third down. It's not a positive, Jerry.
It was terrible.
Mainly, Jerry, 4 turnovers.
Yes.
3 of them, because I'm not going to count Crowder's because the clock ran out right before half. 3 of them, you get 0 points.
Yeah.
3 interceptions, you get 0. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to count two interceptions and one Boston Scott fumble.
Yeah.
And you don't get any points off those turnovers.
Right.
Dude, you kept the Eagles in his game.
Yeah.
You get one touchdown, Jerry, off one of those turnovers. We're not even having this conversation by the end of the game. It's over. It's done.
Yeah, that's right.
It's over and it's done. So, bad job there. The defense, I guess, Jerry, we'll look at it as like a obviously you're holding the 7 points, but you did give up 200-plus yards on the ground. And like you said, Sirianni, for some reason in the first quarter, if he would have just come out running the ball every damn down, it could have been a different story.
And I don't know if you could sense it from the press box, but when that game started, Jalen Hurts looked like he was disinterested. I don't know what it was, dude. You could see it from the start. Like, this is going to be a weird game for him. And I'm not a huge fan of him. I've said it a number of times.
Right.
But you felt it. Like, he was really out of sync. And I thought the same thing. Like, why are they not running on us? Boston Scott, Sanders, like they could run all over us. And I was thankful. I was just thankful that he wasn't it. He was sticking to the pass early on.
Like a late Thanksgiving present, right?
Man, this was an extra apple pie.
Right? So, I didn't quite get that at all. And then Jalen with some of those throws. Man,
he's terrible.
I mean, the one at the end of the half, I just put it out there saying, well, maybe he thought there was no time left. He said, oh, let me just try to force something in there because nothing's going to happen anyway. But then you see that if he would have just threw it out of the side, they would have had a field goal attempt. Yeah. So I have no idea what the hell he was doing there.
The guy fell down, but he wasn't even close to being open.
Yeah, well, Tay Crowder, Jerry. Look, Tay is not the best run-stopping linebacker. We saw that again yesterday. But he does a lot of good things, Jerry. He made that play, dude.
Yeah.
He made that play. I mean, they tried to get Scott in the flat.
Yeah.
And Tate was right there. Jalen saw it. It wasn't there. Then he rolled to his right. And then Tate kind of knocked Scott down a little bit, which he's out of the pocket. Hey.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's fair game. Right. And then he tried to force it and crowd it, you know, get the interception and all that. The end of the half, which we usually see the Giants give up a touchdown, right? At the end of the half, which we thought was going to happen again, obviously.
Always. But
that long drive. So the defense, they gave up a ton of yards. Hurts, 77 yards. But 7 points, and that's all that matters, Jerry. 7 points.
I came away thinking Tate Crowder is perfect for that second middle linebacker spot. If Blake Martinez was healthy, it'd just be so much more fun to watch right now. They really miss him. And it's not that I didn't think they would, but I mean, they really, really miss the tackling machine that is Blake Martinez. So Tate Crowder is a nice second middle linebacker. I still think, you know, they're not completely set.
You mean the second inside backer?
Yes,
to Blake.
That's what I mean. I'm sorry. What did I say?
Second middle linebacker.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Second inside. I'm sorry. Second inside linebacker next to Martinez.
Like last year. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's perfect for that. Like
they complement each other well.
Yeah, right? He's not. He's not going to be the guy that Martinez is. But
no.
You come away with, you know what? You can do a lot worse than Tate Crowder. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Blake makes up a lot for that in the run game that Tate doesn't really provide. You know?
Yeah.
And obviously Blake is missed, Jerry. We all know that. As soon as Blake went down with the knee early in the year, we were like, holy crap.
You know,
we knew what was going to happen. Because they're trying to stop Gap, you know, with the McKinneys. And obviously Reggie Ragland's doing some decent work. But they're no Blakes.
Right.
And even those two guys, they give you some good snaps at times. But they were getting destroyed, too, yesterday when they were pulling those. You know, and you know what's funny, Jerry? The Eagles, you watch them going into this game. They were basically a zone-running team. But yesterday, they were counters all over the damn place, dude. Yeah. And to their credit, when they actually started figuring it out, Jerry, they were like, they kept running it over and over. It's like, okay, well, this is working. We're going to keep running it. Like you said, Jerry, if they would have came out of the gate doing that, I think we lose this game.
Game over.
But the defense, look, Xavier McKinney, Jerry, what could we say more? The kid is just a ball hawk, dude. He's reading the zones.
He played that so beautifully.
Oh, he's just reading the zones. Could have had two picks. Jerry, he's got five. He could have bought to have nine. Jerry,
yeah,
no?
Yeah, yeah.
He could be in J.C. Jackson company right now. Seriously, dude. Yeah. Oh, no, I know Jackson's a corner, but I'm talking about interception number-wise. Yeah. You know, I mean, McKinney's just doing it all. He's physical.
Yeah.
He made a play. He shot out of the gap yesterday on a running play.
Yeah.
I was watching him. He was sneaking up in the line. And, that's why I love being there, Jerry, because you could see what the hell the defense is doing. Obviously, that you don't see on TV. And there was a couple of plays with Xavier. He just smelled certain plays, dude. Smelled them out, man, and made the plays. And you know what? To have this kid on the cover ones playing center or the two shells where he's playing like he's like wrong. Dude, this kid is playing at a Pro Bowl level.
Yeah, he really is.
Look, and credit to Dave Gettleman, who we both know, we both want, you know, we want him to get his visa papers at the end of the year. We know that, right? but I'm not going to sit here and destroy Dave over a smart draft pick, dude.
Yeah.
And this is the kid that they were going to trade down in the second round, and then McKinney was there, and they said, no way, we're passing on this kid.
Yeah.
And if anybody was wondering why, well, you're seeing it now, dude.
Yeah.
This kid is a freaking ball player, man. This is what you see from him, how smart he is. You know, and I talked to Xavier a few times on his side. And, dude, you're talking about a smart young man, bro.
Yeah.
A smart young man that loves the game. He is no dummy. He knows this game.
Yeah.
You know, had some rough patches maybe at the beginning of the year. Hey, don't forget, he didn't play a lot last year, dude. This is like his rookie season, Jerry.
It really is, yeah.
He played. I know he got some snaps. He played against Dallas. He started showing some things against Dallas, and boom, the season is over. He comes into this year. They're figuring some things out. He's getting his feet wet. Well, guess what? To me, this is really like his rookie year, and he's playing lights out. So the Giants are in good hands there. They'll get Logan back from Miami. But Jerry, could we talk about my boy a little bit?
Julian Love, a little bit. Absolutely.
Do we all love a little bit? Yeah, is it? Look, so I'm sitting in a booth yesterday. Just a quick story, Jay. You can get in on Love. And I'm sitting, the guy next to me, Russ Salzberg from the, you know, Channel 5, and we're talking about Julian, and we're saying, you know, and I looked at him, I said, you know, Russ, he's not a Pro Bowler. We know that, Jerry, right?
Right.
He's not the most polished product. He's going to overrun a few things. He might even miss a few tackles. But he's a football player, Jerry.
Yeah.
He's versatile.
Sense. Yeah.
Judge loves him because you could put him anywhere.
Yep.
And he seems to be always around that ball too, dude. Now, I'm not saying he's got Ed Reed hands. He's going to pick off every pass. Like, he should have had that deflection yesterday. He was pissed off at himself after the game. I actually broke his chops a little bit in the tunnel. Like, Julian, well, what are we doing? Are you from Notre Dame or what? And he even said to me, he goes, I got to catch that ball. He said it on the presser, you know. I actually broke his chops. I actually told him after the game, you know Kyle Hamilton, just to let you know. And he was laughing his head. He's just a great freaking kid, you know.
That's awesome.
But the point, Jerry, see him jumps on that fumble.
Yeah.
Making plays, on, you know, he's all over the place. And like I said, he's not a Pro Bowl safety. I'm not saying he is, but is he a kid, Jerry? You tell me. Is he a kid you want on your football team? Yes,
Chris,
or no?
I just wrote. I did a recap.
Again,
I did a
recap. I'm blowing your articles up every damn podcast. Go ahead.
Whatever. I wrote an article of the 2019 draft, and my comment on Julian Love was, he's going to get a second contract, and I hope he's a Giant for years to come because he does a lot of those things. He's kind of a playmaker. He makes some mistakes, but he's a playmaker. He's a guy you want around. He almost reminds me, totally different position, but he reminds me of a George Martin type where you got him on your team, and you want him to be there when things turn around. That's what I kept coming back to. Like, George Good Martin point. In the 70s was just on a horrible team. But when it turned around, it was a guy like that you wanted on your team that made big plays at key times. To me, he's that kind of player. So it's funny. Out of that 19 draft, five guys remain. Zimenez will be gone. I don't think Slayton will get a second contract. Daniel Jones.
I agree.
Dexter Lawrence. Is Julian Love the most sure thing from that draft? I don't know. Probably not, but...
Well, I don't know. Is Daniel a sure thing? I don't know. You know? But well, we get your point, dude. We get what you're saying. Right. You know, it's... And speaking of George Martin, Joe, you know, there was another guy that was on that team that you were so happy for that turned around? Some guy who wore 53.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So, look, dude, the defense... Look, the interceptions, they did. Look, if the opposing quarterback's going to make stupid decisions, you take advantage of it, Jerry.
Yeah, right.
And that's what they did. I thought Donnie, for the second straight consecutive game, has played well. I thought he played well in Tampa. I thought he was pretty physical. I thought he was playing well until he got hurt yesterday.
I was going to ask you, is that just a guy that stinks in practice, but when the lights are on, he's good?
Well, look, Jerry, he struggles. Look, he's lost snaps this year, you know, because he has troubles covering. He does.
Yeah.
But he'll give you that physicality.
Right.
I thought his last two games he played well. Unfortunately, he got blasted on his interception return. He got hit in the chest.
Yeah, he did.
He actually got up pounding his chest, like trying to tell the trainers, yo, my chest. He went to the sideline, and they were looking at his chest area, so he must have some bruised stuff going on in there. Hopefully, it's nothing serious, you know,
before now.
Well, Judge ain't going to say nothing later anyway. You know that. But, you know, and then at the last drive, look, what a lucky, yeah. But the Giants will take it because usually...
Evan Engram catches that ball last year, we win. So whatever, I'll take it.
Usually, flip it back. You could flip it back like that.
Right.
And usually the Giants are on the wrong end of that, right, Jerry? They're on the wrong end of those type plays. So,
right.
But Joe Judge, look, I know people are down on Judge, you know, certain things. But, folks, Joe Judge is won two in a row against a team it seemed like we haven't beat in about 40 years, right?
Yes.
And he should be 3-0 if it wasn't for Evan. You know, I hate to blame everything on Evan. Don't get me wrong. But if he catches it, they're 3-0, right?
He almost cost one yesterday, too, Chris.
So, yeah, I know. So, hey, Joe Judge is right now. Did you like that tweet when I put that out there? Hey, Joe, you should be 3-0. Hey,
yeah,
you
gotta love
Judge, man. Now, Joe Judge is, should we say, owning the Eagles or getting a better half of the Eagles, right? A better part, Jerry. What do you want to say right now? Want to wait for the game in Philly?
The Philly guy is getting the better part of Philly. How about that?
All right. So, Jerry, I'm going to ask you this. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
On December 26th, if they go into the link and they beat the Eagles again, is it safe to say now we could say, hey, Joe Judge is owning the Eagles?
Yes. You almost feel like if you can't beat them, join them. Like, we couldn't beat the Eagles, so now we hired a Philly guy to take them down.
And you ready for this?
Yeah.
And the tight end, Chris Myrick, who caught The only touchdown was a big Philly guy himself. Yes. He was an Eagles fan growing up.
Yeah, so, he went to Temple, play with my cousin. Yeah, he says he's a great guy.
So he seems like a great dude. First time I ever talked to him, obviously, because he hasn't been. He's only been on the roster. Right. His first catch.
Yep.
He's only been active, you know, the last few games. They just got him. You know, they picked him on a practice. They had him on a practice squad. So,
yeah.
So
David. And by the way, I love the other catch he had. Did you? I don't know if you saw it yet.
Yeah,
when he
sure.
fell down.
Yeah.
He fell down, got up. I was like, that's what this team needs, man. You know, he's not the most talented guy, not the most physically gifted, but he's on the ground, gets up, catches the ball, gets the first down. I'm like, I don't care if you're the fifth wide. I don't care if we keep five tight ends next year. You're going to be one of them. I love it. I love that.
Jerry, just to change course one a little bit, I got to give a shout out to the Giants fans yesterday.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why. Let me get into it a little bit. So usually I get a feel, Jerry. I usually arrive at the stadium around 10:30. Mm-hmm. And I usually get a feel. As soon as I drive, as soon as I get off 16W and I start going into, I start driving down and make the left and I see the park lot, obviously, when I get off.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a feel, like when they played the Raiders, all I saw was Raider jerseys all over the damn place.
Right.
Credit to the Giant fans, bro, because when I drove into the lot yesterday, I saw some Eagles jerseys. Right. But it wasn't what I expected.
I thought
those jackasses were going to be all over the place.
So did I.
So Giant fans held on to their seats. They did it for Strahan. I really believe this, Jerry.
1,000%.
Call me a lunatic. Call me a tomato. Call me whatever you want to call me, buffoon. No. But I really feel that the Giant fans said, no. I'm not selling these tickets. I'm not putting them on. Whatever the hell you put them on now, Jerry. Not eBay. Whatever the hell they
StubHub, Ticketmaster,
the secondary. Yeah, right, Jerry, yeah. Those things. I think they held on to them for Michael Strahan. I really do. I do not think, because obviously Giant fans, people that go every Sunday, they're down on the team, and I get it, dude. We all understand that. But when I got to the stadium, Jerry, now I go up to the booth, and I see the people, you know, as we get closer to kickoff, the stadium's getting full. And I'm looking, Jerry, and I'm saying to myself, man, I don't see a lot of green, dude. And I've been to Giant games for 100 years when there was a lot of, and Jerry could tell you this too, there was a ton of Eagle fans.
Awful.
Jerseys in my sections. It was near brawls every damn game, every time we played them, the whole deal, right?
Yeah.
And I got a text from a few friends, right, Jerry? That was sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
I texted a very good friend of mine from Staten Island. And I said, yo, Lou, what's going on down there? You know, I don't see a lot of Eagle fans. And they were quiet. Like, I didn't hear really anything, you know? Right. And I get it that their team wasn't playing for them to start up their nonsense, but I'm looking. So my friend from Staten Island goes, well, Chris, don't worry about that because there's two of them in our section. And we already told them, if you get up and start to act like any nonsense, throwing straight hand, we're going to beat the crap out of you.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I don't condone any violence.
No,
all
it's
I'm saying
fine.
Is that the Giants fans, if that happened in that section, and then I got a text from another friend, and I asked him the same thing. Yo, you got any Eagle fans trying to act up? And he told me, too, not even warned already.
Oh.
So, I don't know. Jerry, I kind of get the feeling that was like going around the stadium of like, don't even think you're going to start your crap.
Oh, I love it.
During Michael's halftime ceremony.
Dude.
Because Jerry, I went to stuff my face with food. By the way, I was in the bathroom with Mara again, just a lady. All right,
did you give me your resume?
Right next to him, right? So anyway, I went to stuff my face quick, get back for Michael's thing, which I did. And, you know, Papa started up, I made it back. Jerry, unless I'm mistaken, I didn't hear anybody even attempted. The starting the Eagle crap, you know,
I was stunned watching that game.
Stupid chant.
I was stunned watching that game, not hearing anything. I couldn't believe it. And I thought, man, that's a Giants crowd. Because normally you can hear them right away.
Oh, dude, right away.
And it was fun. I'll give you a personal story. I gave away my tickets Saturday night on Twitter. And Chris, I took that tweet down so that we didn't get peppered with, I'll go. So I deleted it right away as soon as the first person responded. My daughter watching that game with me. All three of my kids were watching the game with me. And they're older now, so I can just curse.
Well, did your daughter go, Jerry? Did your other daughter go?
I wouldn't let her go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, probably a smart move. Yeah.
So, but we're watching that game, and she was pissed. She goes, I can't believe you didn't let me go to this.
And then Hurts is driving. I go, hold on, sweetie. You might be thanking me in about 5 minutes.
When they scored that touchdown, Jerry, I heard a little bit. A little bit.
Right, right.
But, dude, nothing like usual. No. So a shout-out to you people who went.
Yeah.
Shout-out at me and Jerry, if you were there. And give us some more feedback. Obviously, Jerry was home. And I'm in a booth. I can't hear really everything. I'm just going by basically what I can hear at the time, the best of my ability.
Yeah.
Because there's so much shit crap going on.
Yeah.
You know, but give us a shout out on Twitter who was at the game. I'm going to put this on Twitter too, Jerry. Who was at the game and give me a little feedback about the fans of what was going on, because I got a little feedback from a few friends of mine who are lunatics anyway, but still, they're a few friends of mine about the buzz in the building was like, no, you're not doing this. Doing Michael Strahan's.
And you know what, Chris? Such respect for those guys, because that was one thing I was deathly afraid of. I told you, man, I was so down on this last week. I would have postponed the ceremony because I was deathly afraid of that happening. And I watched the ceremony on Giants.com, and I know there's some there is fake crowd noise piped in on that, because you didn't hear the boos for Maurer on that. And I heard
Maurer didn't speak.
I know, but I heard when he mentioned ownership, Strahan, I heard there were some boos.
Very few, Jerry.
Okay. Well, you know what then? Yeah. Then you didn't hear it on Giants.com. So I was deathly afraid of that. The fact that you had Giant fans reach out to you and say that, dude, that is awesome. That is so great. And, like you say, you don't condone violence, but you do. But, dude, I'm fine with someone saying, hey, you're not going to do that today. You can do it during the game. You're not doing it during Strahan's ceremony. And that's awesome. That is incredible, dude. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Jerry, it reminds me of years ago when I say about 8, 9, or 10 years ago, whatever it might be. Man, time flies, but I think I'm in the right time range. But, and there was a few Eagle fans in front of us in our section, and they would start their Eagle chant during the national anthem.
Oof.
And people were like, hey, shut your mouth, and they were like, oh, sorry, this and that, the typical Eagle crap. So it seems like that was the message sent out to a lot of people, because the ceremony went all smooth. It was, it was a lot of applause for Michael on his day.
Great.
It's great. With his number being retired, and it's a shout out, Jerry, because I'm telling you, dude, I saw, don't get me wrong, of course you're going to see opposing jerseys when you pull into the parking lot.
Yeah, that's fine.
And the Eagles, it's, and the Eagles usually is well represented.
Yeah.
Well, that's because a lot of Giant fans put their tickets up on the secondary markets, dude.
Yeah.
They didn't do it yesterday, Jerry. And I wasn't the only one. I saw some other media guys kind of put it on Twitter too about, hey, this is a Giants crowd, man. I don't, you know what I mean?
That's great. That's so great.
So, hey, I want to give a shout out to you people who were at the game or did not sell their tickets on the secondary market, even if you couldn't make the game, whatever it might be, right, Jerry?
Yeah.
You did a great, great job. It was loud too, Jerry. Obviously, they handed out these white towels.
Yeah.
I didn't see that, but they handed out white towels to the fans because I saw a lot of white.
Yeah, they were showing them. Somebody tweeted them.
Right, I guess maybe Strahan. I'm sure maybe Strahan Day on the towel they handed out, and it was pretty loud, Jerry. During the key situations, key downs, they were pretty into it, and it's a credit to them, Jerry. To everybody that showed up. It wasn't exactly the warmest day. It was in the 30s.
That was cool.
And so, good job by you Giant fans out there who went to the game, Jerry. Your daughter's probably not going to talk to you for 2 days now.
She was pissed. Yeah, she was really pissed.
After she missed that good game,
I just didn't like that. I don't like the element of the Eagle fan. I'll be honest with you. And
Jerry, look. I was the same way when my kids were young.
Yeah.
They used to go to games with me.
But
the Eagle games, they did not go.
But you know what? If she went with me, I'd have been better off. But I had to write. But it was going with somebody else, and I just thought, I'm not going to put them in that position. I don't trust these people, so forget it.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, look,
it is what it is.
There's been some ugly things over the years in my old section, and it's something my little kids, I wouldn't take it to either problem.
Right.
I don't blame you. But the point being, great job by the Giants fans, Jerry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well
said. They do get out of there with a win. They're 4-7 now, playing another hot team next week in Miami.
Yeah.
You take the suntan lotion out. I guess you go from the jackets to the suntan lotion for Judge and the crew.
Wonderful, wear a hoodie.
And we'll see. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. But Freddie Kitchens, that's just some of the things, Jerry. I'm sure Freddie, during the course of the game, when he had the play sheet for him, and the running plays were going nowhere, must have been saying to himself, holy crap. Freaking yeah. God. No wonder why Jason couldn't do anything with, you know. Yeah. But I'm only kidding. So
I think so. I think there's something to that.
What I expect, Jerry, I like the way they came out. They were targeting Evan, too. You know, getting Evan involved, getting Galladay a little involved, you know. But now look for some more things. Now, don't forget, you know, he just took it over last week. Now you got a whole other week to do what you want to do, kind of mold what offense you want for the Miami game and for the rest of the year. So you expect to, you know, some more things next week, Jerry.
Can I say one thing? That was a point I was going to bring up before. I want you to tell me if I'm a buffoon for thinking this. Should Devontae Booker's carries start to increase, despite whether Barkley's healthy or not?
I don't have a problem with that at all.
Okay. I'm not saying 50-50.
Yeah.
70-30, something like that, 60-40.
I don't have a problem with that at all. Okay. I think Devontae deserves a chance to get some carries himself.
Okay.
I like him, you know, between the tackles a little bit more. And,
yeah.
You know, give you some of those grind yards. But one thing about Saquon, Joe, I have to admit, when he had that 38-yard run, I think it was 38 nice. Yards.
32, I think.
He looked like the old Barkley in that, dude.
He did.
He kicked it out. He exploded. He looked like the old Barkley in that.
He was running faster than everyone else. He was passing them, so it wasn't like it was a huge hole and he found it and just went through it. I mean, he was accelerating. You could see him accelerating down the sidelines.
Yeah, so he had that explosion, Jerry. He looked like the old Barkley. He looked like he's like 100% healthy Barkley. So, and he said he was after the game. He says, you know, there's nothing. I've been trying to tell you people, I'm right now, but you know, you can only run so much, but you can't run anywhere. You know what I mean? So that's where they're at.
Good stuff, buddy. Anything else?
No, that's it, man. Okay. I guess we'll talk at the end of the week. Get into Miami a little bit.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What a great day. I mean, I know it was ugly, but oh, dude, I love beating Philly. I love it. And then your boys took down the Flyers. Bad day in Jersey for Philly yesterday.
Yeah, I totally forgot they were even playing the Flyers. And then I saw it on Twitter, like they smacked up on them pretty good, right?
Yeah, the Rangers were canceled because the Islanders have too much COVID. So that game was postponed. But, tough day for Philly. And by the way, I couldn't help myself.
Exactly. Excuse me one second. What exactly does the Rangers Islands have to do with this conversation?
Oh, I'm saying it was another game that was on. That's all. It's a New York team that was on. That's all.
You just tried to get your Rangers today. You think I'm stupid?
Try to get my boys a plug.
You just want to get your 13-4-3, whatever the hell they are, Rangers in there, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I couldn't help myself with the Nate Sudfeld comment. I had this whole speech planned. And then I was very down.
I did see something like that. What was that about again?
Well, maybe Nate Sudfeld could have come into the game and helped the Eagles yesterday because Jalen Hurts played like crap. I'm not over it. I'll never get over it. I think what the Eagles did was one of the worst things I've ever seen last year. So I'll never get over that. So I wrote about it. I wrote about it in my column this week. So there you go. All right, buddy. Good job. Excellent job. And I'm glad they got a win for you going there. That's a horrible travel day.
Three in a row, bro.
But it's a horrible travel day. November, like the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. Like the turnpike had to be brutal.
No, actually, Jerry, no.
Really?
Actually, I flew to the stadium. Yeah, no, it wasn't bad at all.
It used to be such a crap show.
Well, usually, I'm sure around all the parts of the city in Jersey it was, but.
But getting home wasn't bad?
Well, getting home is usual. You know, it's always backed up at a turnpike and stuff, you know, getting out of the stadium. But no matter what time I leave, it seems like. But but going there, I guess because it was a Sunday morning early. But no problem getting there. So.
Cool.
Greeted by a lot of blue, Jerry, when I got off the turnpike.
So great to hear.
All I saw was blue tents and blue jerseys, Jerry. And, so it was good. I saw some Eagle fans just can't let Westbrook go for some reason. I mean, I saw a couple of Westbrook jerseys. I'm saying to myself, okay, enough now. Can you get anybody else?
They don't upgrade their jerseys like Giant fans
do. They
don't,
right?
No, yeah. I've noticed that. A lot of them have McNabb. I've seen Kolb jerseys.
K-O-L-B. Who?
Kolb. Kevin Kolb.
Oh, Kevin. Really?
Yes.
Oh, Jeff, I would have put that one on Twitter if I would have saw that yesterday, man. I would have took a picture of that one, but no, I didn't see that.
There's a lot of Westbrooks, a lot of Dawkins, because Dawkins was great.
Well, Dawkins, I'll give you, Westbrook, I mean, I know Westbrook was a good Eagle, but I think it's time to upgrade a little bit.
But they don't, I saw a guy wearing a Wentz jersey, and he put black over the Z, so it just said Wentz. I thought that was creative.
Oh, yeah?
But yeah, they don't upgrade their jerseys like Giant fans do. They don't.
Right.
Okay. So Giant fans, if a guy stops starting,
they don't wear that jersey anymore. They go to the, they buy a new jersey. So, and by the way, guys, start buying McKinney because he's going to be here a long time. So, all right, guys.
Yeah, I like to see a little more McKinney jerseys out there, Jerry.
That's what I told my daughter.
I want to see Zay's jersey. Your daughter got one, Jerry?
No, she asked me. She goes, who do I get? I said, you're getting Xavier McKinney.
Yeah. I like to see definitely.
Because they have Barkley and Jones, but McKinney. They, you know, we want a guy who's going to be here a long time.
Yeah, and the writing's on the wall, Jerry. He's a second contract kid, bro.
He's
you know what I mean?
Absolute stud.
He's a second contract kid.
Good job, Chris. Excellent. All right, guys. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. Go to magster.com for a digital subscription. That's M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys. Feels wonderful. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.